The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
And so we're joined now in studio by the new deputy leader of Fianna Fáil, the man who also a fortnight ago was made the Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Matt.
Now, we have you here today because we are only a matter of a couple of months away from the October 1st budget and also from the likely general election in November. And that makes the summer economic statement that you have released today all the more interesting to us, particularly given that you were given warnings as the new minister by the Central Bank Governor and by the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council and by sundry others not to overspend. And here we have today, you're offering a package overall. What is it? About 6.3 million in additional, 8.3 billion in total in additional spending and tax cuts, 6.9% increase on last year. You were told not to go over 5%. Why are you doing that?
Well, important to set the context, and thanks, Matt, for having me in this afternoon. It's a package, proposed package of 8.3 billion euro. And within that, though, there's a provision of 1.8 billion euro for new spending measures. So just to set out that, which is actually similar to last year, what within the package, though, there's a number of measures which I'll set out now, which explains why we've and how we've reached 8.3 billion euro. So to fund existing levels of service in our public services, that has taken on an additional cost. There's a lagging effect of inflation. So to provide the same level of service that people experience in health, in education, in across a multiple of areas of our public services, that's approximately 3.7 billion euro for next year, which is much higher than in previous years. And in addition to that, we've decided...
Sorry, that's the additional money to stand still, effectively,
stand still,
is it?
Okay. Exactly. So, and that's important to set that context out. And then in addition to that, we're providing an additional 1.4 billion euro for capital investment. Obviously, housing is a core priority for government. Driving supply and affordability is of absolute central importance. And a core portion of that, in addition to housing, will be in terms of transport and other priorities in the National Development Plan. So that brings us to 5.1 billion euro. And then there's 1.8 billion euro for new measures on current spending. But that will take into account the social protection package, for example. And so there'll be very limited scope for ministers to advance new policy measures across departments. And in fact, it'll be a tight budget from that perspective. And from a tax perspective, we have a package of 1.4 billion euro. And most of that will be on indexation and how we calibrate that in the context of wage inflation and ensuring that people who've increased wages next year aren't excessively levied as a result of that. So our tax package will also be tight in the context of your question.
And it still is more than the 5% that all the experts tell you to do.
And we've had to adjust that to manage the ongoing pressures we have in our health system. So your acute hospital system is under pressure, as you've been covering yourself over many months. And Minister Donoghue has agreed a framework now with Minister Donnelly for 2 years, 1.5 billion euro to manage the additional health spend this year and 1.2 billion euro for next year. And that's being conditioned on the basis of productivity, greater efficiencies and better financial control within the HSE. Because I know the public who are listening hear a lot about spending in healthcare and aren't necessarily seeing the value every time they present to our health system. And that's why we want to make sure that in the context of our overall spending package, that a value for money and outputs has to be a core focus for the future in all government spending, because we are exiting the period of COVID, exiting the period of high inflation. And we need to make sure that our wider fiscal framework is sustainable for the future. And part of what we're doing around embedding the support for existing levels of service across many areas of government is to support their maintenance for next year and not undermining them in 2025.
Okay, but the 8.3 billion in previous years, some economic statements have given sums of money which have then been exceeded in the budget on the basis of so-called one-off measures which in some cases have been repeated. So is this just the start of it, and will the budget mean that there's going to be 11 or 14 billion as in previous years, which would be way off kilter with what the experts are telling you is affordable?
Yeah, no, it won't be anything near what we've seen in previous years. And there'll have to be further consideration of whether or what one-off measures may be required in the context of maybe persistent core inflation and the impact it currently has on certain families. But we are in a different inflationary context context. The June flash inflation figure was 1.5%. We have wage growth, and the purchasing power of households should improve through 2024. So that's a different economic context than what we had when inflation was running at 10%, for example, or when we had hundreds of thousands of people unemployed as a result of COVID.
But won't it be an enormous hit to many households, those with lower incomes, if they suddenly don't get the 450 electricity allowance that you gave them last year, the 600 euro that had been the year before that your predecessors gave?
Well, that's why we'll have to assess the what cost of living measures are appropriate near the time of the budget. But they will not be at the scale they've been at previous years based on our current rate of inflation. And we will have a social protection package that's targeted and that supports workers, families and households who are on lower incomes or who are unemployed or who cannot work. And that's why the social protection package will fit within the 1.8 billion euro which we're providing for new measures as well.
You have 1.4 billion in taxation measures, which is not too far out of line what's happened in previous years. And in previous years, it was hardly noticed by the electorate. There was no political benefit to be had by the government, as measured by opinion polls, certainly. So why aren't you trying to do something more dramatic in relation to taxation to try and give something back to voters?
Well, that's not why you're not in politics just to give something back to voters. You're there to
You're not in politics to give something back to voters.
You're there to make the right decisions so that in the medium to long term we can sustain the investments.
Maybe giving money back to people in the form of lesser tax is actually good for them.
I didn't say that. We will be doing some of that in the context of wage growth and changes to our income tax framework so that people who work more or have increased wages see the benefits of that.
But isn't it all very marginal?
It is. And look, but we have to be careful of, I suppose, that's the wider economic framework we're in. We have a position presently. I mean, there's a lot of discussion, and you have in your program about corporation tax and its concentration. 10 firms essentially funding half of our corporation tax and the risks that are concentrated there. But we also have a situation where 20% of people pay 80% of income tax. And that's a concentration risk in our economy. So excessive changes to income tax would create greater risks for the medium to long term that we have to be cognizant of when we're forming a budget. But I also recognise when I engage with constituents and with voters that there is a high tax burden on many people who are working. And that's why when they see wage growth, we should offset that to an extent. And that's what will be, that's the decisions that will be taken over the coming weeks.
It was one of your Fianna Fáil predecessors in the Department of Finance, and indeed your predecessor in Dublin West, the late Brian Lenihan, who introduced the universal social charge as a temporary measure. And it's become a real permanent fixture in our income tax system. Can that not be reduced in a significant or substantial way, given that the emergency that required its introduction is clearly long over?
Well, there were marginal changes to the universal social charge brought by my predecessor, Michael McGrath.
Marginal. Last year.
They were marginal, but the universal social charge brings about 5 billion euro in per year. And if that's significantly or substantially reduced, it has to be found elsewhere. And that's the, I suppose, that's the honest position that I have to set out to people in the context of increased investment in public services and supports to other parts of our economy. And that's where we have to strike an appropriate balance and also be cognizant of the wider risks that are in our economy. We don't want to excessively narrow our tax base and have to take a lot back in a number of years if those risks crystallise. And we have a lot of external risks. We're a much more shock-prone economy than we were, and that's been manifest itself with Brexit, COVID, the conflict, cost of living, and something could come quickly. And we have to make sure we have a tax and spending framework that's sustainable and that we can intervene if something crystallises in the future.
Your coalition colleagues in Fine Gael are starting to kick up about inheritance tax, expecting a significant change in the thresholds in the budget. How sympathetic are you to their complaints?
I'm not going to be speculating on what the balance of the tax package will be right now. There'll be lots of...
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, how sympathetic are you to their position on this?
I'll engage with all colleagues across government and indeed with the wider public on the priorities that they'll have for budget 2025. the tax package is going to be tight, and a decision to cut one part of our tax system will have to be offset with less reductions in other parts. And clearly that's the balance I'll have to strike. There are many people out there who obviously see excessive capital acquisitions tax or inheritance tax as an issue. But it's going to be a tight tax package, and I want to make sure the decisions I take can be sustained for the future, and also that we take other decisions with colleagues across government in the context of enterprise and industrial policy. We have a lot of risk being presented to us, and we have to make sure we future fit our economy for further investment and opportunity and diversify appropriately. We're seeing the European Union and other parts of the world shift to a more protectionist state aid approach, which obviously impacts our opportunities for the future. So there's a lot of risk there that I have to be cognizant of.
Well, then what about protecting our hotel and restaurant sector, which want the VAT moved back again from 13.5% to 9%? Because they seem fairly confident that you in the past have been sympathetic towards that position.
So look, we'll engage with every sector in the coming weeks. What we've set out to people now is the wider fiscal framework that we're operating on as a government. And from a tax perspective, that's at 1.4 billion euro. And we're at the, as you asked me earlier on, we're at net expenditure growth of 6.9% within that. So, you know, if a decision is taken on one element, that impacts the others. What I've said is the priority for me is to not have excessive levying of income tax in the context of wage growth in our economy. I think we have to give workers and families a break as a priority, and that's will be a priority for me. And there might be scope in other areas of taxation, but it'll be limited with a 1.4 billion euro package.
And to finish, Minister Jack Chambers, I noticed at the outset that when I mentioned that we have the budget on the 1st of October as a precursor to a probable general election in November, you didn't demur. So a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, isn't there, to deliver that budget in October to win the votes in November?
I don't think you gave me a chance to properly respond to that. You said so much in your opening statement. We're very clear we're going to go the full term. It's going to take a significant period to progress the finance bill and the social welfare bill.
How long? You can get that done in a fortnight, three weeks, can't you?
You're very confident and optimistic about all timelines these days with your prediction of a November election. Look, we're very clear and consistent on wanting to run the full term, giving effect
Why?
To the measures that we're taking.
Why would you rather have an election in the depths of winter in February or March rather than in November when you've a better chance before the weather turns?
Well, the weather is, look at today. It's an awful rainy day out there. Look, we're very clear on, I know there'll be lots of conspiracy theories about everything government does or doesn't do and how that feeds into speculation about when a general election will take place. We've been consistent in wanting to run a full term, and that remains the position. And my role now is to deliver a budget with my colleagues in government, and I'm focused on doing that.
Thank you very much, Minister for Finance, Jack Chambers.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.